So we've been working through a series, Thankfulness, 3 weeks, and today we're starting Honor, and then we're carrying on in Praise. We're busy with this series. So today's the first on Honor, and it's such a huge topic. You know, I'm so glad Mark picked this series for us, because it's not something that I would choose. Am I looking fat? What did you say? Oh, sorry, Mark and Sharon. Mark and Sharon, for those of you who don't know, they lead the church. They had long service leave, so we're taking over. We boss at the moment. So, but I'm so glad Mark, who leads the church, thinks I'm skinny. And just kidding. I'm okay with my weight. I still need to reach my goal weight. Anyway, let me focus. Otherwise, I'm going to get distracted. Honor. Yeah, honor. This is what I'm going to talk about today. Anyway, let me start with this. Honor is such a, I'm so glad he picked this topic, because it's not something that I would choose naturally. But I, as I went through all the scriptures and I looked at honor, it is so important to see how important it is towards God, because God, it's very important to God that we honor him, that we honor one another, that we honor authority, and that we honor our parents. And we'll go through some of those things today. But let me just read a couple of scriptures that highlight this theme of honor. And Psalm 46:10 says this: "Be still and know that I'm God. I will be honored by every nation. I will be honored throughout the world." Then Psalm 50:23: "But giving thanks is a sacrifice that truly honors me. If you keep to my path, I will reveal to you salvation of God." And then Proverbs 23, "Avoiding a fight is a mark of honor. Only fools insist on quarreling." Proverbs 21:21, "Whoever pursues righteousness and unfailing love will find life, righteousness, and honor." I know these things that we just say, they really, these are truth. I mean, if you apply these things in your life, these are truths that we can trust and we can follow. We don't have to worry about it. So honor, what is honor? To regard or treat someone with admiration and respect. To show genuine appreciation for one another. Honor is very important to God, because the devil wants people to dishonor one another and break people down. But God wants to build us up, and he wants us to build one another up. And if you look, just think about our culture we live in, society we live in. If you watch the news or a current affair or all these news programs, it's all about finding little things that's wrong and highlight them. And I think we get so used to that when we talk to one another, when you speak to another person, is it so easy to talk about someone else and highlight their faults and highlight and criticize them and break them. Basically, we're breaking people down constantly. And the devil goes, absolutely, that's my people. Break one another down, highlight faults of other people, criticize. Now that's what I love. And that's what the society that we live in, that's what it is. But God came in and he says, no, that's not good, you know. Let's do it the other way. Let's honor people. Let's build people up. Let's look and find the good in people and highlight that. I normally say, we don't always get it right, but I normally say to Maureen Armand, you know what, if we cannot say something good about someone, don't say it. But go back and pray about it. Ask God to change your heart. So God wants to change that, because honor is very important to God, that we honor him and that we honor one another. So we see honor in, like I said, one another. In the Bible, it says we have to honor church leaders. We have to honor people in authority. We have to honor our parents, and we have to honor God. And it's so important to realize and to know that whatever we do in the physical have an impact spiritually. So if we lose this, if we miss this, it will have a spiritual impact in our lives. That is not good. So if your Christian life is dry, life is tough, maybe you need to change something. Maybe you need to allow God in a bit more. Draw close to Him. Make some changes here. Repent. Turn away from the way you've been doing things so that things will change spiritually and it may go well with you. Let me just read this scripture quickly. I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but that's okay. Deuteronomy 5:28, and it says, "The Lord heard you when you spoke to me, and the Lord said to me, 'I have heard what this people said to you. Everything they said was good. Oh, that their hearts would be inclined to fear me and keep all my commands always, so that it might go well with them and their children forever.'" You know, I think some of the older folks that came out of prosperity message is terrible. You know, if I'm obedient, then God will bless me. So nothing about God. I want to do good, and then I will get good things from God. And this is not what this is saying. So I want to bring it back into a middle, because God wants to bless us, but He wants us to follow Him. He wants us to be obedient to Him. Why? I'm giving and to observe the Lord's command, so that it might go well with them and their children forever. So, look, I'm not talking about you're going to win the lottery and things like that, but God's heart is for us. God's heart is that it may go well with you. His heart is that it may go well with you in your relationships, in your marriage, with your kids, in your finances. God's heart is that it may go well with you. So, honoring one another. So it's very easy to stand here and say, look, you have to honor one another, you have to honor your church leaders, honor authority, honor God, honor one another, go on, go on, go on. And I can just give you a whole tick list of things that you have to honor or people you have to honor, and we just leave. But it's much more than that. So honor one another means stop dishonoring one another. Okay. So Romans 12 verse 10 says this, New Living Translation. And it says, "Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other." In the Amplified, it says this, "Be devoted to one another with authentic brotherly affection as members of one family. Give preference to one another in honor." In the ESV, it says this, "Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor." And in the Message, it says this, "Love from the center of who you are. Don't fake it. Run for dear life from evil. Hold on for dear life to good. Be good friends who love deeply. Practice playing second fiddle." And let me say this. This won't be possible. It's impossible if we don't have God in our lives. If you try and love each other, be devoted to one another, love one another with brotherly affection, love from the center of who you are, don't fake it, is impossible if you don't have God in your life. You might be able to flatter people, you might be able to fake it a little bit, but to keep on doing this, even for people that's hard to love, is impossible. You'll never get it. It's impossible. You might fake it for a little bit, but it's not going to last. So we can clearly see, honor one another from the center of who you are. Run for dear life from evil. Yeah. On the don't fake it bit, I think it's so easy to be a Christian and to fake it. You know, because we come in here and it's so lovely and nice and, you know, we're all friendly. We're all having coffee and tea together. But sometimes we can just fake it because that's what we do. You know, we want to have up a shield that say, look, I'm actually okay, but I don't really like you, but I'll smile, you know, type of thing. And if you fake it, just go to God and say, God, I don't want to be fake. you know, I don't like this person, but will you do a work in my heart? Will you help me to see the good in this person's life? Let's stop faking it. Honoring church leaders. 1 Timothy 5:17. The elders who direct the affairs of the church well are worthy of double honor, especially those whose work is preaching and teaching. 1 Thessalonians 5:12. Dear brothers and sisters, honor those who are your leaders in the Lord's work. They work hard among you and give you spiritual guidance. And you know, in this church, we don't have any full-time people working in the church. We all work, have normal jobs, but we do the best we can. And I have to say, I'm a little bit, and no one gets paid, really, but I have to say that I'm a little bit embarrassed about that. That, you know, guys like Mark and Sharon is leading the church full-time. They don't get a salary, but they're laying their lives down. And I'm embarrassed to say that they're not getting a salary. But a while ago, we wanted to bless them with a gift, financial gift. And it was probably same amount as the average weekly pay. And I mentioned it to someone. See if they're here. They're not here. It's okay. I mentioned it to someone. And the person said, "Why? Wow, that's a lot of money that you're going to give them." And I thought, wow, this is like a week's pay. They've been laying their lives down for 7 years, not earning a cent. And here's this person complaining that we want to give them a gift of a few $100. And I think it saddens God's heart, you know, when we do things like that. And I was very sad about it. And then here's a word, while going through this honor thing, is a scripture that I thought I'll just mention. This is a word of church leaders honoring God. So listen to this quickly. It's quite important for anyone who's on leadership in churches or spiritually. And it's Malachi 2, 1 to 9. And it says, "Listen, you priest, this command is for you. Listen to me and make up your minds to honor my name, says the Lord of heaven armies." So make up your mind if you want to honor me or not. And that was a word to the priest at that time. But I think this is a word to any church leaders or leadership team. Make up your mind to honor my name, says the Lord. Or, and here it gets quite rough, "Oh, I'll bring a terrible curse against you. I'll curse even the blessing you receive. Indeed, I've already cursed them because you have not taken my warning to heart. I will punish your descendants and splatter your faces with manure from your festival sacrifices, and I will throw you on a manure pile. Then at last you will know it was I who sent you this warning so that my covenant with the Levites can continue, says the Lord of heaven's armies. The purpose of my covenant with the Levites was to bring life and peace, and that is what I gave them." The covenant with the Levites was to bring life and peace. "This required reverence from them, and they greatly revered me and stood in awe of my name. They passed on to the people the truth of instructions they received from me. They did not lie or cheat. They walked with me, living good and righteous lives, and they turned many from lives of sin. The words of a priest's lips should preserve knowledge of God, and people should go to him for instruction, for the priest is the messenger of the Lord of heavens. But you, priest, have left God's path. Your instructions have caused many to stumble into sin. You have corrupted the covenant I made with the Levites, says the Lord. So I've made you despised and humiliated in the eyes of all people. For you have not obeyed me, but have shown favoritism in the way you carry out my instructions." Wow, so that's quite a heavy word to anyone who's in church leadership or leading a church. Listen to me, make up your mind, you're going to honor me or not. I thought, ooh, wow, okay, I get that. Moving on. So, church leaders, give them money. Give them money, give them gifts. I'm just kidding. Honoring one another, honoring church leaders. Honoring people in authority. And this is a sticky one because we don't like authority. It is just something in us. We don't always want authority, especially if the authority has got blue light and pulling me over and giving me a little piece of paper. and says, slow down. I don't like that. But you know what? All authority is given by God. So listen to this. Romans 13:1-7. Everyone must submit to governing authorities, for all authority comes from God, and those in position of authority have been placed there by God. So anyone who rebels against authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and they will be punished. For the authorities do not strike fear in people who are doing right, but in those who are doing wrong. Would you like to live without fear of the authorities? Then do what is right, and they will honor you. The authorities are God's servants, sent for your good. But if you are doing wrong, of course you should be afraid, for they have the power to punish you. They are God's servants, sent for the very purpose of punishing those who do what is wrong. So you must submit to them, not only to avoid punishment, but also to keep a clear conscience. Pay your taxes. Pay your taxes too, for these same reasons. For government workers need to be paid. They are serving God in what they do. Give to everyone what you owe them. Pay your taxes and government fees to those who collect them, and give respect and honor to those who are in authority. Very clear. Don't really need to expand on that a lot. But what other authorities have we got in our lives? We've got teachers. We've got a few teachers a year. We've got, people in school, principals. How do we treat principals? How do we treat teachers? Not always that good if your child is in trouble, eh? Police, managers at work. If you've got a manager that you don't like, it's authority. God placed authority there. What about your coach? Sport, if you're doing sport, your coach, anything that authority, God places authority. And I hope as I talk that God highlights something in you, that God highlights something in your heart, He highlights something in your thoughts, because we can't just move on. We can't just hear something and move on like nothing has happened. If you hear something and something that you need to make right, let's just respond to that. And then the last two I really want to focus on. This is honoring parents and honoring God. Because if we dishonor our parents, and it doesn't matter if they're bad parents, if we dishonor our parents and if we dishonor God, life will not work out. Life will not work out. Or maybe you have dishonored your parents and they're dead. Life will not work out if you dishonored your parents or dishonored God or living a dishonoring life. Okay. So this is where the rubber hits the road. That when we hear these things, we cannot just leave it. We have to respond to God and fix it. So honoring parents. And I don't want to take this lightly. And this is one of the commands in the Ten Commandments. And it says in Exodus 20:12, it says, honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Matthew 15:4, for God said, honor your father and mother, and anyone who curses their father or mother is to be put to death. Okay, that's quite clear. Exodus 20:12 in the Amplified, honor, respect, obey, care for your father and your mother so that your days may be prolonged in the land the Lord your God gives you. You know what? Your parents maybe didn't live an honorable life, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. And we have to change that. If God is stirring something in your heart, you know, the way maybe your parents neglected you, maybe they've hurt you, we cannot move on. You have to fix that, okay? You have to fix that. Honoring God, Exodus 20, and it says, and God spoke all these words, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or even in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commands." So it's easy for us to say, "Oh, look, I don't serve any other gods. I don't have a Buddha in my lounge, so I'm safe." But it's not that easy. It's not that easy. The word that Rachel brought is actually, that can be the God. I can be the God. My comfort, I can be the God that I put above God. And it's not going to work. It's not going to work out. And it's so easy to put something above God. It is very easy to do that. And the way we honor God is by being obedient. As soon as I step out of God's will for me, and I'm not obedient, I'm dishonoring Him. So listen to this. It's Deuteronomy 10:12, and it says, "And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to Him, to love Him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and to observe the Lord's commands and decrees that I'm giving you today for your own good." And I've read this one before, 5:28, and it says, "The Lord heard you when you spoke to me." So the people were praying, God heard them, and their heart was really for Him. And He says, "Oh, that their hearts would be inclined to fear me and keep all my commands always." What does the Lord your God ask of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to Him, to love Him, to serve Him with all your heart and with all your soul, and to observe the Lord's commands and decrees. Keep close to God. Keep close to God. That's what He's saying. So listen to this. This is where it's getting quite serious. And it says, you know, as you read on in Deuteronomy and you go to 27, it comes to curses and blessings. And verse 15, it says this, "Cursed is anyone who makes an idol, a thing detestable to the Lord, the work of skilled hands, and sets it up in secret." Verse 16, "Cursed is anyone who dishonors their father or mother." And this is quite a serious thing. If we dishonor God, if we dishonor our parents, it's not going to go well. But listen to this. So just after that, God gives this in the next chapter 28, and He says, "Blessing for obedience and blessing for honoring God and honoring your parents." And this is what I read in the beginning, but I'll just read it again. And it says, "If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow His commands I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above the nations. All these blessings will come to you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. You will be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. The fruit of your womb will be blessed, and the crops of your land and the young of your livestock, the calves of your herds and the lamb of your flocks, the basket and your kneading through will be blessed. You will be blessed when you come in and blessed when you go out. The Lord will grant that the enemies who rise up against you will be defeated before you. They will come at you from one direction but flee from you in seven. The Lord will send blessing on your barns and on everything you put your hand to. The Lord your God will bless you in the land He's giving you. The Lord will establish you as His holy people, as He promised you on oath. If you keep the commands of the Lord your God and walk in obedience to Him, then all the people of the earth will see that you are called by my name, and they will fear you. The Lord will grant you abundant prosperity in the fruit of your womb, the young of your livestock, the crops of your ground. The Lord will open the heavens, the storehouses of His bounty, to send rain on your land in season and to bless all the work of your hand. The Lord will make you the head, not the tail. If you pay attention to the commands of the Lord your God that I give you this day and carefully follow them, you will always be at the top, never at the bottom. Do not turn aside from any of the commands I give you today, to the right or to the left. Following other gods and serving them. Basically, what God is saying is, follow me, don't move away, stay close to me, come to me regularly, live with an open heart, live with a soft heart, say yes to me, and it will go well with you. It will go well with you. I'm not going to read all the curses because you will be so scared you'll probably all run away. But it says in verse 15, however, if you do not obey the Lord your God and do not carefully follow all his commands and decrees I'm giving you today, all these curses will come on you and overtake you. I'm not going to read that. You can read that for yourself. But I think what we want to do is we want to establish a culture of honor in our church and in our community, and it starts with each individual. So if you find yourself, if you're the kind of person that when you open your mouth, it's negative, or you're breaking someone down, or you're criticizing, or you're taking some of their faults and you magnify it, I think God is trying to say something to you. That's called dishonoring people. So let's change that. Look, it's not a big thing. It's not a heavy. The only thing that we have to do is repent. Let's just do it, not do it, and turn away from it and turn to God. And while I was talking, maybe the Holy Spirit highlighted something that you need to change in terms of dishonoring. You know, maybe authorities, maybe parents, maybe God himself in the way you've been disobedient or, to parents or God. But we can change that. It's very quickly to change that. God is very quick to respond to the heart, to our hearts. Very quick. He's very quick to respond. I want to mention three things and another 2 minutes and then I'm done. And these are the things that can almost go under the banner of dishonoring people or God or authority. And the one is resentment. That is something that grows, and it's a fruit of dishonoring people. And resentment are caused by someone in authority. So you can have resentment to, you know, it might be years ago, someone in leadership, maybe your parents. I don't know what it is, but resentment caused by someone in authority. And I'll just read you the definition. To feel angry because you have been forced to accept someone or something that you do not like. Or resentment or strong, painful bitterness you feel when someone does something wrong to you. Maybe you feel God did something wrong or someone in authority did something wrong to you. And it might have been recently, it might have been when you were younger. But resentment is something that you have to deal with. And the best way of doing it is just to forgive it. Forgive that person, whatever they've done, forgive them. Anger. Anger is normally directed towards someone on the same stance as you. So anger is a strong emotion that you feel when you think that someone has behaved in an unfair, cruel, or unacceptable way. And we justify anger. You know, you say it's okay to be angry. Or we justify resentment because of what they have done. Just stop it. Just stop it. Ask God to forgive you so he can go well with you. Contempt. That's directed towards someone of lower stance. So we think, I think I'm better than Vessel, or I think I'm better than Mac. I treat him in a way that is demeaning or that he's not worthy. That is, I treat people with contempt. I think I'm better than anyone else. I am better than someone in the street. I'm better than, you can just add in the name there. The feeling that a person or thing is worthless or beneath consideration, you are better than someone else, or at least not as bad as they are. That's a very popular one. I'm not good, but I'm at least not as bad as they are. Huh? It's so easy to do that. Oh my goodness. Contempt. I'm not as bad as the other person. Is just as bad. So listen to this. If any of those stand out for you, resentment, anger, contempt, or the way that maybe you have dishonored someone in the past, and you point out the wrong in other people's lives, you maximize it in your thoughts, you maximize So the way to fix that is, because if someone bothers you, if you don't like someone, you know, you play that thing over in your mind and it bothers you. And when you're alone, you're thinking the worst thoughts about that person, and you've got the worst, you play out this whole episode of what it can look like. And that's what happens. So the way to fix it is this. So what happens is you minimize the good that they do, and you maximize their weaknesses and their faults. But it's to do the opposite. Is if that is something that you do easily, is to stop yourself when you do that and say, God, help me not to maximize their faults. Help me not to maximize or criticize the things they're doing wrong, but help me to maximize what you see in them, that they've got value, and maximize the good that God shows you in them. So honor is very powerful. I'm going to close with this. Honor is very powerful in the restoration of relationships. So give you an example. So let's say I go to Maureen. She has hurt me, said some ugly things, and I'm upset, I'm angry, and so I just want to clear the air. And I would say, you know, that time then you said X, Y, Z, and you said I must lose weight, and you said I'm getting fat. No, I'm just kidding. But, you know, just put any nasty thing in your head. But and I come to and say, look, all those bad things, and you said this, and then you acted in that way, and I can carry on and on and on. Is that an open door for reconciliation? Of course not. She's just going to defend herself and said, but it's because you love biscuits, and it's because you, that's why, you know, and Hungry Jack's, and it's your best friend. Is that the way to start it? No, it's not. But the way to do it is to honor people, and is to say, look, so let's say there's been something between us, and I say, oh, for our God, show me the good that you see in Maureen. Show me the good. And then I wait, and I pray, keep on praying and waiting until God gives me the good, because I don't want to be false. I don't want to fake it. And I will go and say, you know what? I've really been thinking about this, and I want to honor you for the things that God is doing in your lives and the way you respond to God and the value you are to people. God is for you. He loves you. And he can see the way that you treat people, your others, that you are. You care about people. You know, if you honor people, it opens the door for restoration. Opens the door for restoration. At least it's an open hand. It's not like a closed fist. So if you've got a relationship, don't highlight or maximize the faults. Criticize. You know, just get out of the way. But highlight the good. Highlight the good things. Highlight the value. Because that person is created by God. And they've got value. God values every person. And if you struggle to find something of value, spend time with God. Let him show you value, the value in that person. And if that is the only thing that you can highlight, then do it. But at least you're opening the door for restoration to happen. So maybe that is something that you have to go and do. You know, maybe that's something that you have to do today. Even when we meet you together, maybe there's been a relationship here that needs that. Or maybe there's a relationship outside of this community that you need to go and fix. But honoring or displaying honor and giving people honor is a very powerful thing. And it softens people's hearts, and it just shuts the door on the enemy. Because what the devil wants to do is he wants us to be angry, and he wants us to react, and he wants us to point. And the thing how we overcome that is to act in the opposite way. Is to show love, to show forgiveness. So I want us to do that. So we're going to worship. We've got another couple of songs. And I want you to respond to God. If any of this has ticked a little thing in your heart or God's highlighting something, just respond to God. Look, it's not between you and me. It's not between anyone who sits here. It's between you responding to God and be intentional in doing something about it. If it's making something right with parents, making something right with God, making something right with one another, And if we allow God in, if we allow God to work, establishing a culture of honor will happen automatically. So let's do that. Be open. You know what? We're not playing games. We can be vulnerable before God. God's heart is for us. God's heart is that it will go well with us. If we keep things in our heart, if we keep the door shut on God, life will not go well. And I want to encourage you to be open towards God. So let's stand. We're going to worship.